As we prepare to hear Scripture, let us go to the Lord in prayer. O God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word, that you would open our hands that we might be able to do your word, that you would open our very lives, that your word might penetrate into the very corners of our being, that we would always be able to feel your presence. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Listen for the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him was not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. You know, as I read this text this week, I, like Anna, was reminded of a more memorable experience of being in darkness. For me, mine happened in the sixth grade. I was part of a group called PROBE. It stands for Pupils Reaching Over Boundaries for Excellence. I know, it's cumbersome. But the PROBE group was a group that would go out and we would do kind of additional things to challenge us a little bit more. I actually really loved it because we did all these analytical puzzles and things that we did. And occasionally, we would go on trips. So the trip that I remember so strongly was a trip that we took to a cavern. I believe it was Linville Cavern, but I really don't remember exactly which one it was. So we went to this cavern, and we were to study the stalagmites and the stalactites and all the different things and the formations. And as part of this trip, we were taken down into the cavern. And as we went, we were in an area, there was stone on either side. We had to go single file. They asked us to place our hand on the person in front of us, I guess so we wouldn't get lost. But as we went, these walls got more and more narrow. We descended slowly into the earth, and it got darker and darker, and I thought it was the darkest I had ever seen in my life. So I was beginning to get a little anxious, and suddenly, what I thought was dark got darker. For they closed the entrance that I did not even realize was providing just a small amount of light from behind us. And so for several seconds, I was in this darkness that I had no idea existed. And my mind was racing. My eyes were searching, trying to find something to grab onto, something to give me a sense of my bearings. I was holding on pretty harshly to the person in front of me. I don't know if I thought I would fall, but it just was so, I guess the best word is discombobulating. You know, I had anxiety rising, a little bit of fear, and for what seemed like a very long time, but probably was only a couple of seconds, we were in this complete darkness. And then suddenly, I saw and heard up in front of me our guide light a match and hold this match up for us. And suddenly we had light everywhere. Suddenly my eyes, my mind had something to fix upon. Suddenly I knew everything that was around me and I could see everything around me, and my fear and my anxiety disappeared. That small light seemed to drive out all of that extreme darkness that was around me. So when I read this text, I'm reminded of that amount of darkness. This text is this powerful prologue to John's gospel, and these verses presents two of the themes that we see all throughout this gospel, themes of light and life. And in the light, we find 21 different times throughout John. Here we see Jesus described as, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then we read that the true light, Jesus is the true light that enlightens all people. Well, this gospel, John, I have heard described as a gospel that is shallow enough for a child to play and deep enough for an elephant to swim. And the more I read, the more I study John, the more I realize what that short saying means. For there is depth, it's accessible, and then there's depth upon depth. I really could preach on this sermon for at least 2 hours. I won't. But I could. There is just so much. But I'll save some for next year, because, you know, this actually passage occurs several times in the lectionary. It occurs in the regular lectionary cycle, but it also occurs every time we have a second Sunday of Christmas, which does not happen every year. So happy second Sunday of Christmas. It depends on when Christmas falls during the week, whether we have one Sunday of Christmas or two Sundays of Christmas. So next year we will again have a second Sunday of Christmas, and we might have this same passage. So here this passage is, you know, you think the second Sunday of Christmas, you can see that we have all the decorations still up. We have not quite come to Epiphany. Perhaps on that day it would make sense to do one of those beautiful birth narratives that tells us again about the birth of Christ. Well, John is different from the other Gospels in that John's birth narrative is very short. All he tells us is that Jesus came. But he does tell us in these short few verses, he tells us more about Jesus than we can ever get from the others. So in the others, we have these stories of the trip to Bethlehem, the shepherds in the field, the birth in the stable, the visit of the wise men. But here, John, in 18 verses, wants to tell us the full meaning about everything Jesus was, everything Jesus is, and everything Jesus did for us. In these few verses, John shares us some very essential things to understanding who Christ is. To use one of my seminary words, it's called Christology, the study of Christ, understanding Christ. He lets us know that Jesus is eternal. In John 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word." This harkens back to Genesis 1, and John goes on to tell us that Jesus was there in the beginning. The Word was present, and all things were made through him. And the life and the light came through Jesus. John wants us to know that Jesus is not created, because he was in the beginning with God. You know, I remember this Easter cantata I did one time years and years ago. And we were looking through it, my husband and I, and there were these words in there that they had Jesus saying. And Jesus, in these words, said, "I am ascending to my Maker and your Maker, my God and your God." And my husband, the theologian, had a small fit right then. Because Jesus was not made by God. Jesus is part of our Godhead, the Trinity. And so in that particular cantata got that theology particularly wrong. John here wants us to know and to embrace and believe that Jesus is uncreated, that Jesus is present in creation, and that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. We read the words, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Let me just tell you that you can go do some research on this, but this was really important in the first and second centuries. They argued about this a lot. You know, our Nicene Creed that says begotten, not made, they argued for a long time about this at the Council of Nicaea in 325. And you know, there is this understanding, they argued about whether or not God had made Jesus or whether a Jesus had been present for all time. And John wants us to know that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. And then John goes on to describe Jesus as the light, the true light that enlightens all. And he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You know, as I experienced in my time in that cavern, light is a powerful force. You know, light has that ability to drive the darkness away, and no darkness can actually ever extinguish a flame. Darkness, we think of darkness as being the opposite of light, but no matter how hard it tries, the darkness can't put out the light, but the light can drive away the darkness. The light can drive the chaos, the anxiety, the fear away. It can drive away the darkness. And in our lives, without the light of Christ, they're inevitably filled with chaos and darkness. But the light of Christ can drive the darkness away. The light can also be a revealing light, much to our distress sometimes, to strip away concealments, to show everything in its fullness. You know, we read throughout the Bible that this condemnation, that people love the darkness because their deeds were evil. If you want to see this said over and over again, read the book of Kings. They say that people hated the light because it could expose them. I'm reminded of my friend Susan, who talked about the reason she didn't like light was because it could come through the window and all of a sudden you would see all the dust. And if you just didn't have the light, you wouldn't notice the dust. The truth is, it's impossible to hide things, anything, from God. Even if we don't believe, it's impossible. God's light reaches into every corner of our lives. God already knows my dust. God already knows your dust. God knows all the dust of all the world, and God loves us in spite of our dust, in spite of the darkness that we might have in our life. William Barclay said, "We never truly see ourselves until we see ourselves through the eyes of Jesus. We never truly see what our lives are like until we see them in the light of Jesus." The light that Jesus brings can also be a guiding light. It can show us the way. Without that light of Christ, we can walk in darkness. But when we receive the light of Christ and we look to that light, we no longer walk in darkness. In that cavern, as I looked up and I saw that light of the match, I knew the direction to get out. I knew that I would be able to escape this darkness. It gave me a focal point to light my way. You know, as I mentioned, today is the second Sunday of Christmas. Tomorrow will be the 12th day of Christmas. You know that annoying song, right? So it is the 12th day of Christmas tomorrow, but we will also be celebrating Epiphany tomorrow. So next Sunday, we'll be talking a little bit about Epiphany. But during Advent and now during this Christmas season, each week we lit the Advent wreath. Finally, on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle in the middle. We are symbolically showing that we believe that there is light against the growing darkness as we prepare for the coming of Christ, both as a child and Christ's promised return. For with Christmas, we know that the true light has come into the world, this greatest gift ever given, the gift of Christ. It's not just a pretty story. It's not just the cute play that's done with the children who dress up as sheep and pick off the cotton balls off of each other. No, it's not just pretty carols and beautiful decorations. It's more than all these things. It is the gift that changes everything for all time. The true light that came into the darkness of this world, the darkness of our lives, and it drives that darkness away. And the darkness cannot overcome it. You know, I have a powerful memory associated with the Advent wreath and the candles that comes from the first church that I served, Advent United Methodist Church. I was there for about 11 years. The church name is Advent, which means new beginnings. So they really had a special appreciation of the season of Advent. And so during Advent, we would have a hanging of the greens, a service where we sang all the carols and we brought in all the different things to decorate. We would have a Christmas cantata. We would have special events. And then on Christmas Eve, we ended the Christmas Eve with an 11 o'clock service so that we would, at midnight, be welcoming in Christmas Day. One year, Susan, who was a pastor there with me, did something different. Before we sang Silent Night and we lit our candles, symbolically showing that light of the world that has come into the world, she walked over to the Advent wreath. And very intentionally, she said to us, "If Christ had not come into this world, where would our hope be?" And she extinguished a light. And the lights came down in the room. And then she said, "If Christ had not come in the manger so many years ago, where would our peace be?" And she extinguished a candle, and the lights came down. And she said, "If Christ had not come over 2,000 years ago into the world, where would our joy be?" And she took out a candle, and the lights came down. And then she said, "If Christ had not come in human form, in flesh, where would our love be?" And she put out a light, and the lights came down, and we sat in complete darkness, not as dark as the cavern, but it felt very dark. Again, for just a few seconds, it seemed like longer, those pregnant moments. And then Susan began to recite this passage from John 1. And she said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And as she continued in this passage, she got to the part where she said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it." And in the back, we hear the match that is broken, that is begun. And the light is done. And a child begins walking the light down the aisle as Susan continues to recite the John 1 passage in the dark. The light comes, and the light lights the Christ candle. The light continues. This child continues to light all the other candles and then takes the light and gives it to everybody in the sanctuary, so that by the time Susan finishes reciting this passage, the entire sanctuary is lit with these beautiful candles. This was for me one of those moments that I will never forget, those ones that just take your breath away. And symbolically, I felt and knew the coming of the light into the world. I was reminded that the true light has come to the world, this greatest gift of all. And I tell you this story to remind you that this gift was given to all. In this passage, John also tells us that to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This gift has been given to us all if we will just accept it. and allow the light to shine into the darkest corners of our lives, and allow the light to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. So friends, I ask you, what is your response to this great gift? Tomorrow is the 12th day of Christmas. Decorations will be packed up and stored away till next year. Christmas trees, if they haven't already been, will be placed by the road or put into their containers. Many of us are already repenting from our culinary indulgences. In some way, we like to put Christmas back in a box and say the season is over, we'll get you again next year. But for Christians, Christmas continues. The gift of the Christ child has changed the world forever. The gift of the Christ child has changed us forever. The light has come into the world, and the darkness shall not overcome it. It cannot be extinguished. In the cavern, only this one small light was lit. In the daylight, that light may not have even been noticed. But in the midst of the darkness, it made a huge difference. And so I ask, what difference does Christ coming into the world make? Not a tiny light, but a light that will overcome all darkness. Whatever darkness you may be experiencing, I'll ask you to remember these words. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it, has not overcome it, will not overcome it. Cannot overcome it. The light can drive out the darkness. The light can reveal our hidden places and still love us more than we can imagine. This light can guide us through anything we encounter in this life. N.T. Wright says, Jesus, the Word, challenged the darkness before creation and now challenges the darkness that is found tragically within creation itself. But the Word is bringing into being the new creation in which God says, once more, let there be light. So what difference does this make? What difference does this gift make to the world? What difference does it make to you? What difference does it make to me? What difference does it make to us as a community of faith? I once heard the church described using the image of a moon. The moon does not have its own light. We think it does. We look up, we see that light. But it actually is just a reflection of the light of the sun. In the same way, the church, we do not generate light, but we do reflect the light of Christ. Jesus said, as Anna shared with us, and she didn't know I was going to pull this in, you, but it's plural, y'all, are the light of the world. We are the light of the world whenever we reflect Jesus, the true light, into the world. Whenever we reflect the light into one another by acting kindly, by being generous, by treating each other with love. We are the light of the world whenever we shine the light out so that all can know the love of God. So that all can know that they are cared for. So that none are hungry or lonely or despairing of whatever darkness is in their life. So that the light reaches every corner of our lives, every corner of our church, every corner of our neighborhood, every corner of the world to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring joy, and to bring love. As the lighting of the candles reminds us each week throughout Advent, through this Christmas season, and as the lighting of the candles here remind us every Sunday, Christ has come. The true light, which gives light to all, has come into the world. What difference does it make? All the difference in the world. Friends, accept the gift. Go out into the world to spread the light of Christ to a world in darkness. Thanks be to God.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand and boldly proclaim what we believe using the Apostles' Creed.